Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DB Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DB Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
The following includes conversation relating to cryptocurrency. The information provided and discussed is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. Any use of any information is done so at your own risk. DV Radio LLC, as well as the hosts and guests of the show, take no responsibility if you wish to use any of the information in your daily life. Again, the topics discussed are strictly for informational and educational purposes only.
I am Chris, the CEO.
My name is Paul, I'm the COO.
I am Chris, aka Little Chris, the Chief Technical Officer.
My name is Zach. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer, better known as the WEN Marketing Officer, because it never gets done, right?
Of Finity Innovations LLC. Hour-long show, we will talk about Finity, crypto in general, DeFi, blockchain technology, and just talk about anything, whatever the hell we feel like talking about.
Get to know us at a little more personal level.
Babbling nonsense.
Love these guys.
Show me the money! Show me the money!
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to the debut episode of Affinity Protocol right here live on WDVRDVRadio.net. Welcome. We're so happy to be here. We're finally running this podcast. We've been planning this for a while. We do have the entire team with us this morning. We got Paul. We got Chris. We got, what's his name? Hey, who's the other guy? Oh, that's
his name was Wen.
My name's Jeff.
we got Wen Zach with us. So, how y'all doing today, man?
Good, brother, good.
Everything's great, man. Everything's great. Like I said, we were talking before this, that whole daylight savings, man, really screwed me. Screwed me today. Was not expecting it at all.
I hear you. I'm sitting here drinking my coffee. This is early as hell. Anybody eating cereal? Got my Frankenberry right here, too.
Oh, there you go. I already had my coffee.
Oh, awesome. So, just a little introduction. Since this is our debut episode, I want to make sure that anybody that is here to listen, especially if we have some new listeners, knows who the hell we are and why we're doing this. So, I am Chris. I'm the CEO of Affinity Innovations, LLC. Little background on to what we plan on doing. What are we going to do with this podcast? Why did we start it? A couple of reasons. We wanted to make sure that we had a place to kind of just discuss things, you know, talk about not only Affinity, but crypto in general, DeFi, blockchain technology, and just talk about anything going on in our daily lives, you know, what's in the news for related subjects, whatever it may be. This is not going to be a place where you're going to come and try to get, for the most part, maybe we will every once in a while, but for the most part, this isn't where you're going to come and get breaking news or anything like that. We do that typically on our Affinity Friday AMAs and other places. So this is where you can come and just catch up on some, you know, get some education and have some fun. So Paul's our CEO. I don't know if you want to introduce yourself, and we can go down the line, just do a quick introduction just so everybody knows who the hell we are and why we're here.
Yeah, much like you said, man, my name is Paul. I'm the COO of Affinity Innovations, LLC. And yeah, just like you said, this is a more informal setting, you know, gives people the opportunity to just hear us, learn about us, get to know us a little bit better, other than just listening to us drone on and on and on about updates to the project and directions we're going. And, you know, obviously we're going to end up talking crypto and stuff like that and tech and all that fun nonsense. But at the same time, you just get to know us at a little more personal level.
Awesome, man. How about you, Chris? Zach, should tell people who you are.
Yeah, no doubt. I am Chris, aka Little Chris, the CTO, Chief Technical Officer of Affinity. Also, they like to call me the idea man. It's just, I call it insanity, just babbling nonsense. You'll see me around Telegram, Discord, and all that, but I'm usually lurking, not saying much, but I'm always there watching. That's all I have to say.
And now you're here on the podcast, force you to talk.
Oh, man. Good morning, everybody. Name is Zach. I'm the chief marketing officer, better known as the WEN marketing officer, because it never gets done, right? love these guys. Very happy these guys brought me on about a month after Affinity was, after Affinity ICO'd, and they brought me on to take care of marketing needs. And, you know, I'm super blessed and super happy these guys put me in the position that they did. I've been in sales and marketing for about 10 years now. Most of it was during my second half of my military stint, and then afterwards as well. So doing this for a while, I really enjoy it. And the crypto world is something that's, you know, as we all know and we all love, and it's going to be huge in the next 10 years. And I want to spend the next 10 years of my sales career doing this. So I love it. Couldn't be any happier to be here today.
Awesome. Yeah, so I do want to give a shout out to DV Radio and Bo for you know, hosting us and helping us get this launched and set up. So big shout out. Make sure you check out their shows. I know they do one right now on Saturday nights, which actually happened last night at 8 p.m. Right here as well on DV Radio. So if you are interested, if you're a veteran yourself or interested in listening to some things that surround veterans, make sure you check them out. DV Radio does stand for Dysfunctional Veterans Radio. So big shout out to them. A little bit more about what we're doing with this podcast. So every other Sunday, as of right now, we're planning on doing this every other Sunday. So naturally, next Sunday, we will not be here. Look for us the following Sunday, and we'll see how things go, and then maybe we'll pick it up or otherwise. This will be about an hour-long show. And again, we will talk about whatever the hell we feel like talking about. So bear with us. We do plan on having some guests along the way, and that kind of stuff. So that brings me to, and I'll mention this again later on for anybody that may come in later on. I know we talked about giving away an NFT. So, Zach has been hammering away at this, NFT project that we've launched, about a week ago. And we have a couple that we're sitting on. And we promised to give one away today during this podcast. How is that going to happen? Easy. Go to Twitter. Create a post, preferably with the link, right? Actually, you're going to have to put the link to dvradio.net. Let everybody know we're live. Use the hashtag. This is very important. Use the hashtag Affinity Protocol. If you do not use that hashtag, I will not know that you entered, because all I'm going to do is search that hashtag. And anybody that uses it between the hours of 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. while we're live, those entries count. If you enter prior to after 11, that entry is not going to count. So we want to make sure that people know we're live right now. So during the show, go create a tweet, hashtag Affinity Protocol. Those entries that fit between the hours of 10 a.m. and 11 will be entered to win. We will pick somebody at random. And you will be contacted, and you will receive either number one or number two of the Affinity Floaty NFT. Nobody excited about that?
Am I eligible?
Come on. Come on, Zach. Give me some excitement on that, man. You should be like, great. No. All right, fuck y'all.
Am I eligible? I want an NFT.
It's a little bit too early for excitement.
I know.
But, I mean, I can tell you why I'm excited about it. you know, this is something that, personally, you know, if anybody's known us, you know, we really value our company, and we really value anything that's attached to it, right? And we do that because we know where we can bring ourselves, not in a condescending way, but in a confident way. You know, we know ourselves, and we know what we can get in the future, right? We're not saying in the present future, but in the future, we know what we can take ourselves. And so anything that is attached to us will inherently gain that value as well, right? So, and I don't want to put numbers on it, but if we go up any amount of X's, those NFTs and anything attached to us goes up with that value. So, you know, we are going to incorporate more of a use case into these per se. You know, and I'm always honest. I don't know why, but I just like to be. And I'll tell you straight up that I kind of undervalued having a use case in NFTs. You know, not that it's a bad thing, right? I do believe in what we have and what we offer. But I do think that I kind of downplayed having a use case in NFTs. but also being a collector, right? I'm a huge collector of video games, cards, stuff like that. I value art and just the picture. We have to be able to gravitate to everybody. Not everybody's going to see that same value. Some people want to be able to utilize their NFTs, and we totally understand that. If you know us, we're going to gravitate to anybody that we can. You know, we don't want to single anybody out. So we're going to. It may not be this exact line, but I could tell you that NFTs in the future, I am going to look to make sure that there's a use case to it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, if that's what the people want, then that's what the people are going to get. You know, as Chris has talked about over and over again, we have these partners for a reason. We have a partner with DB Slicks for a reason. So if we can create these NFTs that are stakeable, and, you know, Fitz has a staking pool already that's built for NFTs, and all he has to do is create an affinity tab for it. And I'm just speculating here. I'm not saying this is going to happen. You know, but this is stuff that I've come, you know, I've had to really think about in the past week. You know, when stuff happens, right? When stuff happens, you have to hit the drawing board and really go over it again. So that's what I've done this week. I really have been trying to, yeah.
Hey, when stuff happened?
Well, it's funny you mention that too, because, you know, very, very shortly after the line was launched, you know, we did already kind of start talking a little bit about some potential use cases that are, I don't want to say not conventional, but not traditional in the sense of what most people would see as a use case for an NFT. And I think, Zach, you were part of that conversation in Discord that we had not even a week ago, I don't think. So it's just like you said, it's not that we're undervaluing what we currently have out, but there's, you know, there's a lot of potential for some use cases to come down the line with some of these NFTs that are going to be maybe not traditional to the sense of NFTs, but are still going to be innovative around the crypto space.
Yeah, me.
Like, with ours, so what we have done initially this week, you know, I don't want to say when the next, you know, portion of what we want to do with them is going to come out, but, you know, Chris and I, Paul and little Chris are all working on it. But immediately, you know, we came to terms that anybody who owns an NFT is going to get that app beta spot, and that's going to be premier access. And what we mean by that is, you know, if you might be thinking, well, if I buy an NFT, you know, in a month, you know, or 2 months, very close, whenever before the app comes out, whatever it may be, they're just going to give away spots for free. Or that, I'm just going to tell you, that's not the case. You know, we already had a team of people who are going to test the app for us. And, you know, that I don't want to say that's going to be enough, but it was a good set of people where we would have got enough, you know, quality, excuse me. So what term I'm looking for? Analytics. Thank you. And no thank you to anybody. Don't help me, but get enough analytics back to test this stuff and, you know, get stuff back. But what we want to do, you know, is instantly you're going to have that beta access. That's just one form of how we're going to give back to people. So yeah, like I said, we're going to keep working on it, and I'm excited. You know, NFTs are, we were against them at first, but we do value them a little bit more now. You know, we have to build with the time of crypto just like everyone else, you know, and that's like the meta. We used to roll our eyes at the meta, and now Chris is starting to work at meta stuff, and that's awesome. I don't know shit about the meta, but Chris does. He spends his nights until 3 a.m. in the strip clubs in the meta. But
that's true. That's true. That's no lie. No, but things change too, right? So you got to roll with it. And, you know, just like, you know, we've seen the evolution of crypto, and then in, you know, with DeFi and smart contracts, you see that evolution. You see the evolution of tokenomics. You see everything kind of roll in, you know, NFTs weren't necessarily about a quote unquote use case. And then, you know, more and more people start developing smart contracts around it. And you just got it. We always got to stay flexible and just kind of roll with the times and make sure that we're keeping up with the needs, the wants, and the changes that are happening across the space. And that's really what it comes down to. So, you know, we'll always strive to do that. Are we going to hit the mark every time? Probably not, you know, but we're always going to be there. So that being said, I want to reiterate for anybody that just came in, make sure you hashtag an Affinity Protocol, tweet that out if you want to be entered to win that NFT that will be given out. Make sure it's between the hours of 10 a.m. and 11, pretty much while we're live here. Otherwise, you do not qualify. So, because this is our first episode, we want to make sure that anybody that is coming along, listening to this afterwards, which, by the way, this is being recorded. It will be posted, you know, within a few days, I'm assuming. I don't want to put pressure on Bo because he is helping us out with that. He's going to get this uploaded so that way you can listen to it again and again and again whenever you feel like it, or anybody that has not heard it live can listen to it at your favorite podcast place, wherever that may be. Minus Spotify. This will not be on Spotify. It'll be pretty much everywhere else, though, that you listen to your favorite podcast. So I do want to make sure that... I just lost my train of thought, man. I'm getting fucking old.
It's too early for you, isn't it, man?
It is. It's way too early.
I'm curious. So why not Spotify? Is there a reason for it?
Or? Yeah, there is. So from what it was explained to me, Spotify does not... They have a problem with any podcast that includes any sort of music, which is crazy to me. Even though the music we use, like in the intro here, you heard there's a little bit of music in the outro, I believe there's a little bit as well. It's royalty free music. So I don't understand the problem. I know they're working on trying to get that rectified, because obviously their podcast is not on there either, and they want it. So
No shit. What about Apple Music?
Yeah, it'll be on Apple Music.
Oh, okay, nice. I had a feeling that it was some stupid little reason like that. That's crazy. Yeah. You would think that their system would be able to detect something like that, and
yeah, it's dumb.
Easily get it changed.
Yeah. So this is also brought. This is being broadcasted through Radio King. So if you have the Radio King app, the Radio King mobile app, you don't have to listen through DVRadio.net if you don't want to. But if it's easier, especially if you're on your PC, you can download the Radio King app. And then from now on, if you want to listen to us live through there, you can do that as well. So, but yeah, so, oh, I know where I was going with my train of thought. We want to talk about what the hell Affinity is, right? Because again, we may have some new people that, that are coming across this podcast. They're like, hey, I heard that, you know, that awesome guy, Chris and, you know, a few other mediocre people are going to be, I love you guys.
So awesome.
I'm going to be talking. So they want to know what Affinity is. You know, I'll give you a quick rundown, and anybody else want to chime in, feel free to cut me off too, because I don't want to get all just babbling and shit. But anyway, Affinity is...
The dementia kicks in eventually. So
it
I got
does.
You.
It does. Then I start losing my train of thought. I'm like, where the hell am I? And then I got to call for help, and somebody got to come find me. And
You got Life Alert, right?
Yeah, the Life Alert.
I've mentally fallen, and there's not a goddamn thing I can do about it.
Hell yeah. But, all right, so Affinity Innovations is a company that is founded to develop software surrounding crypto technology, blockchain technology, while also having a token on the, they call it the BNB network now, it's no longer BSC, token on the BNB network under the ticker Affinity. And what we are doing and what we have been doing for the last 6 to 7 months is finding ways that we can innovate crypto and DeFi as a whole, make things easier for people that are getting into crypto, people that are already around and have been in it for quite a while, finding things that would make the space more secure, just anything we possibly can do to create innovation and move things forward. And we are full steam ahead with that. We have our flagship platform out, which is known as Adapt. You can find more information on all of this at affinitybsc.com. But we are just developing every day, hitting our roadmap, hitting our milestones, hitting our goals. Again, please check out the website. You can find all the information on the token as well at that website. We have amazing tokenomics. We do reward in both BUSD and pegged ADA at a very high rate. So I implore you, if you're somebody that is looking to get into crypto or are in crypto currently, check us out. The token again is Affinity. The company is Affinity Innovations. If you have any questions on it, stop by our Telegram, which can be found on a link on the website. All of our socials are there. If you guys got something else to throw in there, again, I could go on all day about this, but we only got an hour, and I don't want to bore people to shit. But I do want to give you a way to find that information. Again, affinitybse.com.
And well, just simple enough, do your own research. Be smart about the potential investment.
100%. You know, Chris, I kind of want to get into some stuff this morning.
Let's get into it, man.
This is a really good cover of our company, but I would like to hear, and I'm sure anybody who's listening, and honestly, if this topic is ever brought up again, I think it would be a really nice turning point for people to look at, because I hear this and I see this on Twitter a lot, and I feel like people get confused between what centralized and decentralized is, and also get confused about having some type of centralization to decentralization. So in your wisdom and in who you are, can you explain what true decentralization is, right? So obviously we know what Bitcoin is, and you know, we don't, their decentralization, right? We don't know who runs it and being anonymous and, you know, all that fun shit, right? But in your words, what is decentralization versus centralization, and why is it needed?
What are you interviewing me here, buddy?
Yeah, straight up. I want to know, man. Because I've heard this a lot, right? And I've actually never heard your take on it.
All right. Well, we're going to have a conversation, but I will definitely. And first and foremost, let's get something straight. I don't know everything there is to know about. None of us here know everything there is to know about any of these subjects. So we are going to give you, to the best of our knowledge, in this show and any show going forward, if we misspeak, too friggin' bad. Do your own research. No, seriously, though, if we misspeak, feel free, you know, call us out, you know, put it in the chat. If you didn't know, dvradio.net does have a live chat. You could also talk in our Telegram. I have both open right now. So, feel free to let us know. I'm not afraid to say, hey, I'm wrong. But so DeFi, or decentralized finance, the real difference, but I'm going to start with DeFi and then we'll talk about centralized. With decentralized finance, it really truly is that. It's meant to be not controlled by a centralized entity, whether that be an organization, the government, whoever it may, you know, whoever it is. That's why when you look at like Bitcoin is technically not controlled by an entity. It was put out and it's basically controlled by whoever owns some. If you own a little bit of Bitcoin, no matter how much you own, you have a piece in the control, in the sense that you control whatever you have, whether you want to sell it, use it for a currency and go buy something with it, exchange it, or hold it. There is no overseeing governing body that oversees Bitcoin and other. There's a lot of other cryptocurrencies out there that are the same way. When you look at traditional finance or fiat, there are central banks. There are governments. That is centralized. They oversee that. They create governance that, tells us what is going to happen with it, how it's going to be used. They control inflation, deflation, all kinds of other stuff that has to deal with our traditional financial systems. DeFi was meant to take that away, take it out of the hands of any individual entity. Does that answer your question, Zachary?
That's good.
What about you? What about you? Did I miss anything? You got any? What's your take on it? Did I cover you?
Well, so the other thing I want to touch on was having, there has to be. It's obviously Bitcoin is Bitcoin, right? And I think there has to be the floor, right? The floor of crypto has to be decentralized, end quote, right?
Yeah.
But again, to make that operate. How am I trying to put it here? So as we always say, centralization to decentralization, right? There has to be little tiny bodies inside of the decentralization to essentially help regulate it, right? So this is where people like us. So technically we are a centralized business. Yes, that is very true, but we've created a decentralized product, right? So yeah, I think that there has to be, again, as we talk about, I mean, regulations are coming. You know, it's inevitable before regulations come and people try to put a foothold on what Bitcoin is and what crypto is. Again, yeah. It's only a matter of time. Well, and it's up to us little guys to try to keep it not the wild, wild west. You know, every rug pull that happens, every hack that happens, that looks negative on us. You know, it sucks, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. And just to backtrack a little bit, perfect example, and I hate to bring him into this because, well, at least we can't hear him, so he can't go on and on. So Investo mentioned in our Telegram, right? Perfect example of that is actually, BNB, Binance. That's a good example of centralized, decentralized. That Binance is a company. There is a company that oversees the BNB blockchain. But the BNB blockchain in itself is meant to be decentralized. And the smart contracts that ride on layer two on BNB are also meant to be decentralized. So that's a perfect example of a centralized authority creating decentralized tools, networks, that kind of thing. To a degree, it is needed because who is going to create this stuff if everything, every piece of it is decentralized? There's nobody to create. You need some sort of company or organization or something to create things that allow decentralization to propagate.
And that also comes down to what your definition of centralized to decentralized is, because I can 100% appreciate the sentiment behind it. I'd almost prefer to refer to it as not necessarily requiring centralization to achieve, you know, true decentralization, but more of just you have to have good organized structure. That kind of means, yes, centralization, but it's not traditional centralization in the sense that, you know, we're talking about in DeFi space. It's more organization. Like, sure, you know, we come out with a platform like Adapt and we want it to revolutionize the crypto world and all of that quote stuff. You know, you can say because it's the Adapt platform is controlled by us that it's quote centralized, but I would prefer to look at that as organization, because all we're doing is we're organizing a way to make it easier. We're organizing a way for users to have a better experience. Yes, we control the smart contracts and the software that go into it, but we're not centralizing all of that. We're keeping it decentralized. We're just organizing it into a better fashion.
Yeah, exactly. And who's going to, you know, updates are needed. We all know how quickly technology changes. And if there's nobody around and everything gets quote unquote hardcore decentralized, who the hell's going to update it? You know, it's in theory, and in some cases, it's a good idea. But like when we're talking about how people in the past, it was looked at where if you didn't, renounce your contract, it was a bad thing and stuff like that. And I can agree with that sentiment. But if somebody is not there to keep things updated or tweak things when things don't go right, then what? You know, there's a lot of funds that are being, moved around in this space. And, you know, things can go very wrong if everything is just kind of pushed off and left open to full decentralization. So some of that is needed, but it's just going to be done the right way. And Zach hit a good point with the scams and the rug pulls and all that shit that's happening. That's why there's that big push, and that's why people get sketched out about any type of centralization, is because that stems from, you know, a lot of the scams stem from that. And if we don't do a good enough job going forward, if we're not educating each other and we're not pushing the right things forward, these scams are the ones that are going to catch front page news. And that will lead me into, and I want to throw this back at you guys. So there's a question in the DV radio chat, how the government, their attempts to regulate crypto is affecting the current markets. That kind of plays into it, because when you look at the news and you look at the governments around the world and everybody else, a lot of the regulation that they're trying to impose is coming from the feedback that they're getting from people that are being scammed, right? And we know we need to stop that somehow. Is the government the right place to go to look for ways to curb and mitigate and stop all this bullshit with the scams and everything? Or how do you feel about the regulation and the way it's affecting the markets?
So I'll take this one. It's needed, but it's also in a minuscule way. When you have too much government oversight, things tend to become either heavily taxed or not efficient. We see it in everyday society. When you don't have regulation, you gotta have these things with rug pulls, scams, et cetera. So if you meet in the middle, and let's like, for example, look at the bill that Joe Biden just signed, where they are looking into creating a central bank of digital currency. Things that will help the everyday user get into cryptocurrency and build upon that trust that, hey, fiat's not the only way that you can handle currency. Cryptocurrency is a real thing. Cryptocurrency is not just play money that everybody says it's been for, what, the past 10, 15 years? That's just my take on it. It's needed, but in a way where it doesn't interfere with the normal operations of crypto, because you're not going to get your everyday traders if they have no trust. And despite the dislike of government regulation gives all those everyday traders, those fiat traders, that warm fuzzies in their tummies that their money is secure.
See, I don't know. I take more of a libertarian stance on that. Like, I call it the J.G. Wentworth method. Because, you know, it's my money. I want it now.
It's my money and I need it now.
It's my money and I need it now.
It's your money. Use it when you need it.
So when it comes to something like, what's up?
Oh, no. Finish.
I was just going to say, when it comes to stuff like government regulation, I think that there's an unfortunate expected trade-off, right? So like, obviously we all want to be able to have the government step in anytime something bad happens, but not be there anytime something good happens, right? So yeah, I want to make my money. I don't want to give the government a piece of it because it's my money. You know, I earned it in the traditional sense of the word earn, but then I also want protection if things don't go well. And unfortunately, the harsh truth is that you can't have it both ways. You know, the whole you can't have your cake and eat it too, or however the correct saying goes. I think we'd have to talk to the Unabomber to get it in his manifesto or whatever. But anyway, so kind of like what Chris was saying is there's got to be something, but you would hope that the input is minimal, because if it's not minimal, it is going to affect the market. Maybe not negatively, but it can create some destabilization within the market where people just don't know exactly what the government's next move is going to be while they're trying to regulate or push a new policy or get their feet wet in crypto. Because obviously, if it's about making money, everyone wants to make money, including government and government agencies.
Quick pause on that. Chris, do you mind telling everybody that we're halfway, telling everybody again who may have came in the last 30 minutes about how they can possibly win an NFT? And
man. So we, as you may have remembered, we have two NFTs available that we are holding on to, the first two, one and two. We are giving away one of those NFTs today during this broadcast. You need to go on to Twitter, make a tweet, hashtag Affinity Protocol. Please put the link to this podcast, which is dvradio.net, in your tweet so everybody knows to come listen. They got about 25 minutes left until the final, till we end the debut of this show, first episode. So it must be done during the live broadcast. Any tweet that is tagged after 11 a.m. Eastern time will not count as an entry to win that NFT. So please do it within the next 25 minutes. Touching back on what Paul was talking about. Yeah, I'm kind of, I say almost in between, because I do get it. We do need some sort of government intervention for the scams. At least hold the scammers accountable. Right now, because it's not regulated, it's really difficult to at least hold them accountable. I know there's a really tricky thing, because when you get into traditional investment, stock investment, if you're going to invest in a private company, that kind of thing, you have to be an accredited investor. What does that mean? It means that you have to hold a certain amount of assets, liquid assets. You have to have a certain amount of investment experience, or you legally cannot invest in a company, okay? A private company. Now, if they're exchanging on the stock exchange, that's a little different. But if you're investing in a private company, according to the SEC, you are not allowed to invest. So when it comes to crypto, you need to keep in mind, it's not that you're investing in equity in the company. That's where the whole argument, and we could do a whole nother show, maybe next show we'll do like a whole thing on that. But anyway, it's not equity in the company. It is ownership of a piece of that currency specifically. So there's no real regulation on it because the government right now does not look at it as ownership in a company. Go look at what's going on with XRP right now, and I know that's hopefully getting cleared up. But that was the whole argument. That was the whole lawsuit and what was going on. They were saying that they were looking, you know, it was an equity thing where it wasn't looked at so much as a currency, but as ownership in the Ripple company. So when we're talking about regulation and what that means to the government is they need to figure that out, but they need to figure it out in the right way. And we hope they do, but we need to have our say in it as well. If we don't start governing ourselves, they are going to come in fast and furious and take care of it for us.
And that's the typical play, right? I'm not saying that any conspiracy theory or anything like that, but they're able to get around and do what they want to do with their oversight and their crazy amount of regulation based on associated fear. And if there is a greater fear of getting scammed and getting that rug than there is for someone to say, well, hey, you know what, I'll risk it. I'll risk my own money to see if this pans out. Then obviously they're going to be able to use that and step in to create a system that would potentially be more free of scams, but overall is not going to benefit every single holder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And all right, so we did get a question in chat about taxation. How do you deal with taxation? And I want to make sure that you know we are not tax professionals, and I am not going to give you tax advice. One of the things about that is, you know, we're currently based in the U.S., but we do have global listeners. Obviously, you know, the Affinity Token and Affinity Innovations is reaching globally. So I don't know all the laws and everything in every single country that people are holding Affinity or crypto in general. But I will tell you, please, please, please obey your local and federal laws wherever you may live in regarding taxes. I know here in the U.S., you do need to pay taxes on your crypto earnings. So see your tax professional, your CPA, whoever it may be. You do have to pay taxes on that. Make sure you get that done. April 15th is going to be here before you know it. Don't sleep on it. So that's really
a shameless plug.
What was that?
Look, yeah, a little shameless plug real quick. I mean, obviously this is only applicable for the United States. But if anybody in the United States wants a trusted tax professional, I do have a CPA that I've been using for the past almost 6 years now, 5 years, almost six. She's someone close to me. She's an awesome person. Like I said, she is a registered CPA, and she's not necessarily asking for work, but I know if I send people that her way that she would easily do it. So if anybody wants somebody or doesn't want to have to worry about it, anything it may be, I can easily put you in contact with somebody. Like, this is the way that we're going to go, right? This is the way we want to be. And as we grow bigger into a business, obviously we'll have certified companies that we're partnered with, much like some of our other partners have done, so we can outsource this stuff safely to our investors, because this stuff is needed. This is an actual need. You have to pay your taxes every year. Remember that. The tax man will come unless you're tornadoing your cash out every time. I'm sorry, but it can be tracked back to you, and you got to take care of that shit. Not saying that tornado is good. Not saying that, but just saying.
We're not recommending that at all. Pay your taxes.
No, yes, pay your taxes, please. But yes, 100%. If anybody in the United States needs somebody, a trusted individual, please reach out to me and I can put you in contact with somebody.
Need to get that sponsorship.
And my tax lady got mad at me about my crypto stuff this year. I do a typical, like, so like they send out like a package, like, hey, you know, fill out all this crap, you know, all your income, you know, give us all the forms, everything you have, like that kind of stuff, right? And I always do it. And I always fill it out to the best of my ability, but because I have no effing idea what the heck I'm doing with taxes, I always write like a little letter, like explaining some stuff. And this year I basically apologized in advance because I was like, you know, hey, I don't understand any of this crypto stuff, but like, here it is. Guess what? You're my tax lady. You get to figure it out. So I got a phone call from her assistant the other day when I was going to pick up my kid from daycare. And basically all she said is, you really just gave us this form with no background. And I was like, well, yeah, I have no idea what to do with it. And she was like, yeah, thanks. She needed some other documentation, which is the real reason she called. But of course she had to open up with that and just be like, you know what? Thanks. Thanks a lot. But you know, got my paperwork in by the deadline, so we'll be all right.
I still got to finish mine up.
No, I done did my shit. You kidding me? I did that shit like, I already got my stuff back. I did that shit like 3.5 weeks ago. Hell no.
It's been a rocky year. It's been a crazy year for me, man, with a couple job changes. Just a couple, two or three.
So, yeah, a couple.
Because you keep all your receipts in your handbag. You get a sword.
I do. They're all crumbled up, balled up in my pocket. Got a bill.
I freaking, this is the worst time of the year, honestly. I sit there just waiting by the mail every single time this year, waiting by the mail. I need my W-2s. I want my shit so I can get it done and over with. The faster it's done, though, you know, it's just one less thing I have to worry about. Because I've had years where literally like April 14th, I'm like, oh shit, I did not do this. And
I work for a company that they don't give out the freaking proof of healthcare. They had to get it out like beginning of March, and you're like, come on now.
Yeah.
they did it again this year, and it's like, it's annoying as shit. Because like I said, you know, same thing with the CPA. Like, they're busy. They need documentation by a certain date to be able to guarantee that your tax return is going to be done on time. So they have a due date, and every single year, because this company with their freaking proof of healthcare paperwork, I'm always like the day before the deadline, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. Right.
Yep.
That's very true.
Yeah, actually, I was still waiting on one for quite a while. So, yeah, maybe I'll actually get moving on that at some point. Maybe. I don't know.
On top of everything else.
I know, damn.
Didn't you say you went to a fucking convention yesterday?
Oh, yeah. So, let me tell you about that real quick. So... And Paul, I got to get with you on the list for Affinity Friday, so that we can get everybody paid later on today. Yeah. But so yesterday, and don't get me wrong, I love doing stuff for my kids. I love seeing them get involved in things. But so my daughter is in robotics, and it's great. I love it because obviously, naturally, I love technology. I love to see anybody involved in it. I love to be around it. And robotics is cool, but she went to a regional competition yesterday, and this thing started at 9 a.m., but it's about an hour and a half from where I live. So we had to get up and be out the house by about 7 a.m. to make sure we got there in time to sign in and blah, 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 all that good stuff. So we're there at about, you know, 8:45. And when I get there, I find out that this thing's supposed to go till like 4 p.m. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. 4 p.m. So I go in there and they, you know, the competition doesn't even start till like 11. We get there at 9. It doesn't even start till like 11. And it's moving along pretty well. And they get a little ahead of schedule. Rather than say, okay, we're ahead of schedule, we're just going to keep pressing on and maybe the thing will end early. No. We're going to take
longer breaks.
Yeah, we're going to take a 15, 20 minute break to kind of get back on track. I'm like, hold up. All right, whatever. I get it. Maybe there's a reason why, you know, parents picking people up. You don't want to end too early. Kids sitting around. So they come back from the break. Now, 5 minutes later, the guy goes, all right, we're about 15 minutes behind schedule now. So we're going to try to speed things up a little bit. I'm like, who the hell? Wait, what?
Yo, who's doing math over there?
Extend it then.
Now I'm all kinds of confused. I'm like, I don't even, whatever math they're using, I don't know. You guys are robotics people. I hope your math in robotics is much better than your math in time. I don't know. but So it gets moving again, and what a long, long, long day. You know, they did about 8 matches. The robotics on the younger kids' ages is not incredibly exciting. It's kind of cool, but it's not incredibly exciting. So after hours and hours of sitting there, it plays a toll on you. So I was exhausted when I got home, just mentally and physically from sitting in those bleachers. My back can't handle it anymore these days. But
I was going to ask, is it first robotics?
You're telling me you didn't bring your prop-up chair? You
know,
for the bleachers?
Wait, what's first robotics?
In your pillow?
So when I was a wee boy in high school, and I was in robotics club, the competition we went to was it was called FIRST, and FIRST is an acronym for something.
Yeah,
but I mean it was a fun thing to go to. I was just curious, you know.
No, it wasn't. But
like STEM.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, STEM. Yeah, science, technology, engineering, and math. There you go. Overall it was pretty cool. I like to see her compete, and you know, the nationals is going to Texas, but out of 28 teams, my daughter's team finished in I believe 21st, so they will not be going to nationals. So I'll be right here in good old Massachusetts while that goes.
But she made it to regionals, though. That's a step.
Yeah, no, she loved it, man. She had a really great time. You know, I hate to be one of those guys, but honestly, it was her teammate. One of them didn't show up, and the other one not very good at driving. So she was driving it. She'd get a couple points, and halfway through, they make you hand over the sticks. And I'll tell you what, this kid was not scoring points. So, you know, I didn't call him out. I'm not an asshole. I'm not going to call out some 11-year-old. But I was just watching. I was like,
oh come on.
No.
But, well, by the way, just because I had to Google it because I couldn't remember. FIRST is for inspiration and recognition of science and technology. So they have a robotics competition as well. And that's so I did as a young lad in high school.
Yeah, it's cool shit, man. Vesto asked how she liked. She did. She had a good time, man. And I know she's looking forward to it, you know, the rest of the school year and then next year and so forth. So, yeah, that's how my Saturday went. Did anybody else do anything cool on Saturday? Anybody else sit around?
I cleaned my house.
Yeah, you cleaned your house?
Dude, you live in like an hour and a half away from us. You saw what happened to us yesterday. We got shit on with some snowman. I didn't do a damn thing.
That's right. Yeah, it was raining.
I mean, it was more snow, more ice than snow.
It was all rain for me.
Oh, we got
horrible.
Yeah, we got destroyed. It was rain for like an hour and a half, and then it instantly changed to like a mix, and then it turned into fluffy shit right on top of it. It was gross. Gross. I'm good. I stayed inside. Actually, I worked on stuff that I can't disclose on here that I actually want to show you right after this, Chris. So I'll show you what I did yesterday. But these guys can't know. But you can.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to it. So Leon did ask in our Telegram when we planning to announce the floaty winner. So I do want to give you a heads up. You got about another 10 minutes or so to get those tweets out. We're going to announce it probably later on tonight. I'll send a tweet out with the winner, because I do want to give everybody the opportunity, and I don't want to spend time while we're live here on this podcast looking through tweets and trying to pick somebody. But do keep in mind, if your tweet has a timestamp on it and it is after 11 a.m. Eastern time, I'm not counting it. So if you're listening right now, make sure you get that tweet out, hashtag Affinity Protocol. Oh, shit. So, yeah, like that being said, we got about 10 more minutes. What else you guys got? You got anything interesting you want to talk about? I know one thing that is on people's minds, well, at least on my mind, because it annoys the living shit out of me, is so let's spend a few minutes talking about the influence people have on potential investors on social media. Anybody got any feelings on that?
I got a lot of feelings on that.
Give me some feelings, bro. I want to hear those feels.
No, Paul is right. I don't know if you want to hear him or not. Nah, I think it's bullshit, man. Honestly, of course. And being, you know, not a bigger influencer per se, even as you guys know my backstory and content creation. When I was doing content creation, I always felt as though that, just like I do here, you know, off-putting, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Trying to say this in a nice way because I don't want to seem like I'm targeting anybody, but just being transparent, right? That, just as we always preach, is just being transparent. And even as a content creator, that matters. You know, being truthful with people about what you know and what you're getting into. And obviously crypto is a little bit different because you're really dealing with people's money than what I was doing in video games. But at the end of the day, you can still be persuaded by people in any sense to buy something or to get something. And like with video games, right? There's a lot of in-game purchases that are fucking worthless. There's no need to go spending $160 for a skin that's not going to do anything, right? But then people could say the same thing about NFTs, right? So it's just like a double-edged sword at the end of the day. But anyways, influencers in themselves really need to hold themselves at a higher accountability at the end of the day, because their words matter. I'm sorry, but when we preach do your own research and all of that fun stuff, it doesn't happen. I don't care who you are. I can tell you 85% of those people who watch those YouTube videos and, you know, stuff of that nature, follow people on Twitter, they do it for two reasons, or possibly two reasons. One, they don't have enough education and didn't do their own research into what they're getting into, or crypto as a whole, or any projects, anything like that. Or B, maybe they do have the knowledge, but they don't have the time. And of course, time is also valuable. You know, being in a person, I haven't really traded in a long time after I started working with Affinity, just because I'm always doing something, right? It's hard to watch charts or anything like that. Obviously, yeah, I'll find plays that I can invest in long term, but that's it. Now, these people, they watch these videos and, you know, when they get out of work or in their breaks, whatever it may be, and they're like, oh shit, that sounds really good. I should get in it right now. And then they get in it and they go to work and they come back and all of a sudden it's down. And I'm like, what the fuck? I just got in this. Now I'm going to sell. And then it creates this whole thing. So psychology is real. My favorite thing about trading in crypto and anything, and if you talk to anybody, if I talk to anybody about this, is the brain. The brain is the most powerful part of trading. It's not necessarily about what you're investing in, but it's you. If you cannot handle yourself as a trader, then you should not be in this business. You should be an investor. Just find something that you believe in and go with it. That's a whole ass thing, man. Yeah. I could keep going. What do you guys think?
It really is. And I'm sure we're going to talk about it more and more on every podcast. Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, most of modern day influencers are just the modern day version of snake oil salesmen, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. This is going to be an unpopular opinion, I think, but I think that a lot of this goes back onto the follower of the influencer and the level of trust that you have associated with said influencer, market person, whatever. Because, like, if I'm going to follow an influencer and get some food suggestions, like, that's one thing. I might go out to dinner and I might not like the meal because I trusted this person saying that it was the best food they've ever had or whatever. But now you start talking about playing with my money. You have to put on a different kind of, like, listening cap, so to speak. Like, you can listen to somebody and they can be saying all the good stuff, but you have to remember that, you know, they're in it to make their money as well. So especially if they're going to get paid to peddle any kind of product, you have to be thinking of what the ulterior motive is behind it, because essentially, you know, someone is trying to get their bag pumped, whether it's the influencer, someone who hired the influencer, whatever it may be. So if you want to trust an influencer for some mundane thing, like, I don't know, taking a different route to work because there's a back road that doesn't ever has any traffic and you can speed and there's no cops, you know, cool, whatever, you want to trust them with that. But when you talk about the realm of trusting somebody to influence what my money may or may not do, like, you have to take a step back and really, really think about it and say, is this really going to be a good decision for me and my money?
Yeah, you said it perfectly too, Paul, is the knowing their intention. What is their intention? When you see somebody on, whether it be social media or wherever it is, that recommends something to you, why are they recommending it? Are they recommending it because they genuinely are looking out for my best interest? Or are they recommending it because they were involved, you know, in the distribution of tokens before it was even launched, which happens, right? So people make deals with a lot of the same type of influencers and give them tokens right at launch and say, hey, go pump this for me. And then you all jump in and then they dump on you. Or is it genuinely somebody that believes in the project and the company? When we deal with anybody, and I can promise you this, when it comes down to anybody that we officially deal with, when we seek them out or they come to us, we go through a vigorous process of looking into them. Are they really interested in Affinity? Are they really interested in what we're doing? Do they want to know the information? Are they asking us questions? Do they care? Are they invested themselves? We don't give them Affinity tokens. We want to make sure that they're on the same playing field as us and that they're not out there just shilling whatever the hell comes along and whoever's willing to give them a little bit of money. We want to make sure that they understand what we're doing and they're not just putting out empty tweets trying to get people to jump in. That is not the case with about 90, maybe even higher percent of what you see out there. So please, the bottom line is, be careful. Do your own research. Don't just go jumping into stuff because you see whoever the hell is tweeting about it or it's trending or whatever's going on. Be careful. And it really is a topic we could go on and on and on about. But seeing how we only are going to be on here for about another 4 or 5 minutes, we will definitely talk more about this in the future.
I just want to touch one more thing on it. It's just a super simple point on how to maybe protect yourself from those per se influencers who, I don't want to say this is a bad method, but and probably, you know, just in my role in dealing with all these people, I can tell you probably 95 to 99% of these people, and these people are ones who continually shill new projects. You know, if they can't go 2 weeks, you know, without talking about something new, they're just getting in and out. It's as simple as that. You know, they have a short mindset. You know, if you're going a few months between talking about projects, now that's understandable because people got to diversify. People got to make new plays. That's cool. But if you're just pumping out new videos every week or every other day, it's a new tweet about something else. That is a huge red flag. Like if that is not the ultimate red flag to you, I'm sorry, but that's it. That's all I want to say is just go back and look, right? That's the first thing we do is just go back and look, and you can do that yourself very easily.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. We definitely look out for that. You know, there's a lot of accounts out there. It's like every few hours they're putting out another tweet about a different project. Yeah. Massive red flag. All right. Well, hey, so we're closing in on only a couple minutes left. This has been awesome. What a great first show. We are a reminder. We are going to be here every other Sunday. So next Sunday, we will not be here at dvradio.net. We will be here the following Sunday. You'll see tweets, follow our socials. We'll put out the information on our Telegram and everywhere else when we will be broadcasting. So I really appreciate everybody who came out to listen. I hope everybody in Europe and beyond came out to listen, because if you remember, the reason why we are up at the crack of, I'll call it the crack of dawn because I'm up crazy late. So getting up at 8:30 in the morning is pretty damn early for me on a weekend. So we're up here early to accommodate for that, because I know we tend to do things late at night. So we're trying to do, you know, be fair to our friends and, you know, everybody else in other time zones. So make sure you listen. You can also listen to this podcast recorded probably within a few days. Your favorite podcast listening place. So once again, thank you everybody for coming out. We look forward to next time. Check out affinitybsc.net. All right, Zach, what you got, man? Final thoughts from everybody. What you got, Zach?
Well, I was just going to say, you want to tell everybody when you're going to pull the NFT and how to do that real quick before we go.
Oh, well, the NFT is going to be pulled a little later on. But again, the cutoff is like right now. If you have not put out a tweet already, that's it. So anybody that put out a tweet, I'm going to search the hashtag Affinity Protocol, and those people will be entered. Yes, we will look out for things like if you are an obvious bot, don't bother, right? You got like no followers, no profile picture. So if right now you don't have a profile picture or a banner, go put one up before I go look. No bots, please. But we will pull that later on, and I will create a tweet and I will tag that person, and you will know that you were the winner. Final thoughts, anybody? Let's go with Paul. Paul, what you got? What you got?
Hope everyone has a good week ahead of them. That's what I got.
That's it.
Well, I mean, it's 11, man.
I do got to get more coffee.
No, you guys know how it is. We talk to everybody about crypto every single week, and you know, make smart decisions that are going to be smart for you, whether it's researching, not researching, whatever the case may be. Just make a good decision that's going to be good for you and your money, because that's all it comes down to when it comes to crypto.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. Chris.
All for me is, all it says is stay on the lookout. And that's it for me.
Oh, damn. You're going to leave on that?
Damn, kid.
See it. Well, you know, I'm not going to say too much either, because I got a newsletter to go finish up. And you guys know I put all my thoughts and hearts and soul into that. So, you know, obviously I appreciate anybody who woke up early maybe to watch this in the United States, but also I hope anybody in the UK or anybody international was able to sit and listen this morning, you know, for our first time, and being able to tell people maybe in the future, you know, if you know and have any friends or family that might want to sit in, you know, you guys always hear me preach word of mouth, word of mouth, word of mouth, word of mouth. And, you know, this is just another opportunity for more people to hear what we're about and what we're doing. So we appreciate you guys, and I hope you guys have a blessed week, truthfully.
Perfect. Well, thank you to everybody that came today, listened, and obviously this fine Affinity crew that is here had a great time. We will see you all in 2 weeks, and we are out.
Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
That's all, folks.
Goodbye, motherfucker!